provides for us every step of the way. So Hosea chapter 2, and we're going to be looking here at verse 1 through verse 5. And here in the book of Hosea, we've seen this prophet Hosea was told to marry this woman from the land of whoredoms, and her name is Gomer. And in the context of this account of Scripture here, of course, Hosea would be a picture of God, and of course, Gomer is a picture of Israel. And God loves Israel. Hosea loves, of course, his wife Gomer. But we're going to find here in these verses here tonight that it is a heart cry, if you will, from Hosea to his wife. And, of course, we know that the book of Hosea is a heart cry of God Almighty to His chosen people of Israel. And notice here in Hosea chapter 2, and starting in verse 1, reading through verse 5, the Bible says this: "Say ye unto your brethren Ami, and to your sisters Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst, and will have not, and will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms, for their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink." Now notice there, that is Hosea speaking to these children here and pleading that his wife would repent of her sins and, of course, come back from those sins. So let's open in a word of prayer and we'll get started here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you tonight and, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I do pray that you would help us, Lord, to see Lord, exactly how you desire, Lord, us to repent of our sins as well, Lord, as we go through this life, Lord, even though we're saved, Lord, there are many times in which we sin against you, Lord, we transgress against your law. And Lord, you desire for us to repent of our sins or to confess those sins unto you. And Lord, I thank you for the promise from your word, as we read this morning, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I do pray if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, they'd come to know you tonight. And Lord, I pray that we'd leave this place just knowing more about you and being a more fervent witness for you, Lord. I pray if there's any known sin in our lives, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would, Lord, confess that sin tonight, repent of that sin, and not be carrying that sin around with us any longer. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So notice here, as I mentioned, we've got Hosea and, of course, his wife Gomer. They are mentioned here in this passage. And in the very beginning of the passage there, we read that he was talking to the children there. And, of course, he is telling them exactly what the mother has done. And Gomer, she falls into physical adultery and she is about in the town, if you will. She is unfaithful to her husband, Hosea. And this is a picture of how Israel had fallen into spiritual adultery. Israel is the chosen people of God. And of course, here in the book of Hosea, that's who we're reading of, the children of God there. But they have fallen into spiritual adultery. They have gone against God's plan for them. They have transgressed against God's law. They have fallen into idolatry, and they have married into idolatry, all sorts of different things. Israel walked into spiritual adultery by following their own lust. When I say that Israel has fallen into spiritual adultery and idolatry, I do not mean that it was something that they could not help. That's not what I mean tonight. They're following their own lust, the lust of the flesh, and that is why they have fallen into this sin. Just as Gomer had walked into physical adultery by following her own lust, Israel has done this spiritually as well. But in this case here, whether looking at God and Israel or Hosea and Gomer, we find here that there is a desire to see repentance. And that desire comes from a deep love that we can see throughout the book of Hosea. Of course, that is an agape love, a love that comes from God Himself. That's the love that we're reading of here. This is not this love between Hosea and his love for his wife Gomer. It is not a love that is merely lust like what we find in today's world. No, this was true love from Hosea to his wife, and it absolutely broke his heart that she was continuing to go against him and be unfaithful. You know, it continues to break God's heart when we do that as well. Each and every one of us, we have the sins that, of course, the devil knows that it is hard for us to abstain from those things. Some it may be a gossiping tongue. Some it may be alcohol or cigarettes or ungodly music. Whatever it may be, you know what it is, and the Holy Spirit, of course, convicts each and every one of us of those sins. But the truth of the matter is, each and every one of us have something in which we go against God. There's something that causes us to go against God. God desires for us to repent of those sins. It's not just to carry it around like a pet and say, well, this is just something I'll have to deal with for the rest of my life. Well, we live in a sinful flesh that is inside of a sinful world, amen. Sin is always going to be there. But we can overcome that sin that I'm talking about tonight by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we cannot do it in our own power. Notice here, I want to preach to you a message that I've entitled this, The Plea for Repentance. The Plea for Repentance. Something that everyone has seen and even felt, especially those of us who are parents, is that when a loved one sins, we desire for them to repent of those sins. We desire for them to make it right, whether it be our spouse or our children or another loved one, whatever it may be. We desire for them to make that right before man and before God. The last thing we want to see our loved ones go through is the repercussions of their sins. We don't want to see them go through that. We don't like going through the consequences of our sins, and we don't want to see our loved ones go through that. That's why it is good to have our family in church. That's why it's good to have the Bible before us at all times. It's because the Bible is what's going to steer us to do that which is right. We long to see repentance because we love them. And we want what is best for them. We do not want them to live in bondage. We want to see them living freely in Christ. And many times we will plead with them to repent, and that plea comes from our love for them. Tonight, as we study this passage and we break it apart, if you will, it's my desire for us to see a couple of things. First of all, that God desires for us to plead with others to repent of their sins. But then also that God desires for us to be quick to repent of our sins as well. You know, many times, and every one of us are guilty of this at one point or another, we are a lot quicker at wanting someone else to repent than repenting ourselves. It's easy for us to see the sin in somebody else's life. It's easy for us to look at someone else and say, well, I just don't understand why they do that. Meanwhile, we are overlooking the sin that's right there in our lives. You see, we see here that there is a plea for repentance. But what is repentance? Well, I believe that biblical repentance, if you study that out, it is a change of heart that results in a change of action. That is biblical repentance, true repentance. When someone is truly sorry for what they have done, they do all they can to abstain from those actions in the future. So as we discuss this plea for repentance tonight, I want us to see, first of all, notice the request that was made. The request that was made. As we begin this chapter here, we see verse 1 and 2, and notice, say ye unto your brethren Ami, and to your sisters Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Now notice here, as we look at this passage, we see that it begins with Hosea speaking to his son here, Jezreel. And of course, we know that because he mentions the other two children, and Jezreel's name is not mentioned here. So obviously, he is speaking to Jezreel, and he's telling them to speak unto the his brother, and then also to his sister. Remember that the Jezreel is the one the Bible specifically says that she bare him a son. It does not say that about the other two children. But Hosea is speaking to Jezreel here, and he is telling him to speak with the others, and he's pleading with his children to go and to plead with their mother and ask her to repent of her sins and come back where she belongs. Can you see this man? This husband that's done everything that he can. No doubt he has tried to talk with her. No doubt he has tried to reason with her. No doubt he's praying and he's asking the Lord to intervene here. And we are seeing a man that is at the end of his rope. We're seeing a man that has done everything he can. He's tried to speak to his wife. He's tried to get her to see the error of her ways, and it's been to no avail. And now he is going to ask his children to do that as well, trying to put a voice in front of her to wake her up. That's what he's trying to do here. See, just like when we are living in sin, that breaks, of course, the heart of God. The Holy Spirit is convicting our hearts. That still small voice is ringing loud and clear. You know, many times we refer to it as that still small voice, but there is some times in which that voice does not sound so small. It's ringing. It is sounding the alarm bells to us, saying, "Do not go this way. Do not take part in that. Get away from those people. Do not stay there. You're going to be sucked into that sin." And notice he's pleading with us to repent. But many times, instead of heeding to that voice, instead of understanding the voice is coming from the God of heaven, who cares for us and wants what is best for us, we tend to brush it off. We tend to say, "Well, I know what God is saying, but I want to do this." And many people will say this, "Well, I know what the Bible says, but this makes me happy." Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit is sounding the alarm bells, but yet we are brushing it off, and we're allowing the devil to whisper lies in our ears. And over and over and over again, we are believing the lies of the devil over the Word of God. Lord, help us. God is pleading with us to repent of our sins, turn back to Him, to turn from the unfaithfulness and be faithful unto God. You know, no doubt Hosea here, no doubt he tried to speak to his wife. He tried to do everything he could, and now he's asking his children to go and speak to their mother. Maybe, just maybe, she will listen to the children. Maybe having someone else be in front of her, maybe she will see the error of her ways. Maybe she'll listen to them. You see, when we are living in sin, we know that it's sin before we ever commit the sin. We know it. But because of our pride, we continue to go down that path. We know that it's sin because God, the Holy Spirit, tells us so. He has placed a conscience within us that knows right from wrong. People know that it's wrong to do things against the Word of God. People know that it's wrong to drink, it's wrong to smoke, it's wrong to do drugs, it's wrong to curse. And people know those things are wrong. And you say, "Well, how do you know that, preacher? What about an unsaved person?" They know that smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol is wrong. How do they know that? Or how do we know that they know that it's wrong? Because when little Johnny is 11 years old behind the school, and his friend says, "Hey, smoke this cigarette," what's little Johnny do? Okay. What's he doing? He's looking to make sure nobody's looking at him. Because he knows that it's wrong. Dad and mom may smoke cigarettes, but he knows that it's wrong. He knows that he should not be doing that. That conscience that is put within us. If a kid never steps one foot into a church growing up, when that kid is in that scenario that we were just talking about, he will look to make sure that dad or mom is not watching. And it's not going to be because the preacher sounded it from the pulpit, but because God Almighty has placed it within each and every one of us. Yes, we should preach against sin, but God has placed that conscience within us. We have the light of creation. We have the light of conscience. We know that there is a God. We know what is right from wrong. Before a human preacher was ever born, many years ago, there was a man and woman who lived and they sinned against God. And without ever going to church, without ever bowing at an altar in some fancy building or anything like that, before they ever heard a preacher sounding forth the Word of God, these people, when they sinned against God, the voice of the Lord came in the midst of the garden and they hid from His voice. Why is that? Because of that light that was within them. Because they knew that it was wrong. There was no revelation of God in written form here. There was not a Bible that Adam and Eve were sitting down reading saying, okay, well, we know we should do this and we shouldn't do this and all of that. None of that was there for them. But they still knew it was wrong. You see, Gomer, she was there in the people there, of course, an adulterous people, a wife of whoredoms, it says there, but she still knew that her actions were wrong. She knew that. You know what's going to happen when we hear about sin and how people are trying to get us to sin and do those types of things? What we're going to find is this. Many times the Lord sends someone our way to call out that sin as well. Sometimes we know what's wrong. We know that we should not be doing this. We know that is sin, and we know that because of our conscience. And many times if we continue down that path, God's going to place someone in our path that is going to remind us that that action was wrong. I can think of many times, and I'm sure you can as well, where we're going through something in the throughout the week and we're dealing with some sin, maybe a besetting sin in our life, and we're dealing with that and we think nobody knows about it. No one on earth may know about it, but we walk through the doors of the church and we walk in and we sit down and the preacher says, open your Bible to such and such passage, and the Holy Spirit leads the preacher to preach on exactly what we were dealing with that week. Not because the preacher knew anything about it, but because the Holy Spirit knew. You see, but many times we still refuse to get it right. We yield to the lies of the devil, and those lies sound a lot like this. Well, who do they think they are telling you what to do? You don't have to listen to them. They don't understand you. They don't know what's best for you. They're just old school. You see, the devil is the father of lies. He is a conniver. He is deceitful, and we need to rebuke him. We need to listen to God rather than listening to the lies of the devil. When I was growing up and my parents said, hey, this is what we're going to do because this is what the Bible says. We're going to go to church and we're going to be faithful at this. And they went down the list. Yes, I was raised in church, but the devil was right there saying, who do they think they are? Happens with each and every one of us. We need to rebuke him. You know, the devil came at the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. You're not dealing with something that the Lord didn't have to deal with when it comes to temptation. The issue is that many times when the temptation comes, we do not confront it like the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. When Satan came and he was making all these offers, if you will, to our Lord and Savior, the Lord and Savior said three words: "It is written." He confronted him with the Word of God. He confronted him with exactly what the authority was. You see, these children here that we're reading of, these are people that are being put in front of their mother and they're pleading with her. That's what Hosea is asking them to do. Notice, plead with your mother. Plead with her. They're pleading with her to lay aside all the wickedness and turn to a holy lifestyle. We do not see Hosea hold back here. We see that he calls out sin, and that is what we need to do. That's what we need to do today. Why is it that we have such weak Christianity today? Why is it that so many believers are so weak when it comes to the Bible? The truth of the matter is, yes, it's because of sin in our life, because of pride, but the truth of the matter is, many preachers refuse to call sin what it is, and that is sin. It's an abomination against God. And we need to be preaching against sin. For too long, we have had men who call themselves preachers and preachers of the Word of God, but they refuse to call out sin. It's impossible for someone to be strong for God and stand strong for Him, but yet be soft on sin. It's absolutely impossible because this is the Word of God. We are to rightly divide the Word of truth. We are called to preach the whole counsel of God. Everything that we need is right here. God is pleading with us. Do not continue down the path of sin. Do not allow the devil to whisper those things in your ear. Do not allow the devil to try to convince you of those things. Because if we allow the devil to get more than just that first word out, can I tell you this? We've allowed him to talk too much. And boy, does he like to talk. The devil likes to try to convince us that we have a right to do what we want. Well, you have a right to do what you want, but you can understand this, that you do what you want, contrary to the Word of God, then you're going to face the consequences of that sin. Going to come. We need to make no mistake about it. Right is right and wrong is wrong. So Hosea asks his children to speak to their mother. And we see, of course, that he's making this request here. He's asking them to plead with their mother and try to get her to turn away from her adulteries. First of all, we see the request that was made. Notice, secondly, here we see the judgment towards the unrepentant. Look at verses 3 through 5, if you will. Notice verse 3 through 5, it says, "Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot, she that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink." Notice there's going to be some judgment that comes here. Notice he is saying there in the beginning of that passage, verse 3, it says this, lest. So lest means because if she doesn't do these things, then this is what's going to happen. He's telling her, repent of your sins. Children, go and plead with your mother. She knew what was right from wrong. The children have gone to her, and he's telling them, he says, look, tell her that if this does not happen, then I am going to cause this to happen. Here in these verses, we see a principle that is still true today. God says, do this, or I will do this. See, in life, there are things that have consequences. If we fail to do what we are supposed to do, we must face the consequences of that. That's not hard for us to understand because the truth is that when we are judged for our sin, we are judged for our sin. Notice, I will not be judged for your sin. You will not be judged for my sin. We'll be judged for our sin personally. We talked about this morning how the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He died for our sins, my sin and your sin individually. That's what we are going to be judged for as well. But the truth is, when we are judged for our sin, we tend to get mad at God. Now, we've disregarded everything that God wanted us to do. We've gone against His Word. We have gone against everything that God has said is right. We have done the complete opposite of that. And we've said, I make my own decisions. I'm my own man. I'm in charge of my life. But then the consequences come and we get mad at God. Those consequences did not have to come because the sin did not have to happen. But yet we walk into the sin, therefore the consequences are coming. If we fail to do what we are supposed to do, we must face the consequences of that. God is warning us all along the way. The condemnation that Gomer was going to face was a portrayal of the condemnation that Israel would face as well. They would face shame. Look at verse 3. Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born. Notice that is something that is shameful there. Stripping someone naked in public was a sign of shame. As you study history, you'll find that people knew that their bodies were supposed to be covered. They knew that within themselves. However, this world has gotten away from that truth. It's no longer, well, let me make sure I'm covered. It's now today, it's let me see how much I can take off. That's how this world lives today. Throughout the Bible and also in more recent history, when someone wanted to humiliate another, they would strip them of their clothes publicly because that always brings shame. If we willingly walk around uncovered according to biblical standards, we are bringing that shame upon ourselves. Notice it's a sign of shame here. If she was not going to repent of her sins, if she was not going to heed to this plea for repentance there, then shame was going to come to her. And if we refuse to repent of our sins as well, that the Holy Spirit convicts us about, notice sin or the consequences will come for that sin. But not only would she be in shame, but also she would become desolate. There in verse 3 we read of a wilderness. Notice, and make her as a wilderness. That wilderness that we read of there, it speaks of a dry, barren, desolate wilderness. You read of the wilderness in the Bible, it's not speaking of some luscious garden, something that's beautiful to look at. It is speaking of barrenness. And you can mark my word that if we do not heed to the Word of God, if we turn a deaf ear to the voice of the Holy Spirit, if we yield to the devil, our life will become desolate. It will. Because life comes from yielding to Christ. Why is it that we see people who were once on fire for God, why is it that they have fallen into a state of barrenness and desolation? Because they refuse to confess their sin. They refuse to get right with God. Therefore, they become desolate. And then also, not only would they be in open shame, not only would she be become desolate there, but also they would become spiritually thirsty. Here at the end of verse 3, it says this, and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. Notice, slay her with thirst. In the context of Scripture, as the Lord is speaking to Israel, notice what's going to happen here. God is telling them that He will not speak to them. That's the thirst that's going to happen here. I want you to look over at the book of Amos, if you will. Amos, I believe it is chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, look at verse 11 through 13. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 through 13. Notice what the Bible says here about being thirsty. Here in Amos chapter 8, verse 11 through 13, the Bible says this, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land." Notice, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst, they that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, "Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth." Even they shall fall and never rise up again. Notice this thirst that we read of there is a dullness of hearing the Word of God. Church, we have the Word of God right in front of us, but that does not mean that God is speaking to us. We have what God wants us to know right here. But God speaks to us as we are yielded to His Word. And if we are living with unrepentant sin in our life, God will not speak to us. Because He desires for us to have communion with Him. Notice it said there in that passage there. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread. He's not talking about them being physically hungry here. He's not talking about them being physically thirsty here, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And what are they going to do when that happens? They are going to wonder. It says from sea to sea. He's not saying he's never spoke with them in the past. He said that his word is not going to speak with them at this point. Why is that? Because of the sin that they were involved in. Because they were unwilling to repent of their sins. They would be spiritually thirsty. He said that he was going to slay her with thirst. Believer, that would be a scary place to be, the place in which the God of heaven does not speak to us. And before we start to justify ourselves, think about this for a moment here. If you try to speak to someone and obviously they're not listening to you, do you continue speaking? No. You move on. You have something that needs to be heard? You're going to find someone who's going to hear it. Someone that's going to listen. We understand that physically speaking, in the human life, we want to speak to someone who cares about what we're saying. And when they decide that they are not going to listen to that, then we are going to stop talking. But when we hear that God is going to stop talking, we think to ourselves, well, why would He do that? I thought He was a loving God. He is, but He desires to commune with His children. And He desires for us to turn from our wicked ways. He desires for us to repent of our sins. Do not continue down the path that we have been going down. Each and every one of us, we need to understand God is using the same principle here. As Hosea is speaking to about his wife being slain with thirst, God is warning His people as well. And we need to understand that God is pleading with us. He's pleading with us as believers, with me and you, that we need to listen to Him. To turn from our wickedness, turn to Him rather than listening to the devil. Church, God is pleading with every single one of us because He knows that we are bent towards sin. There are some believers who haven't darkened an altar in years. Some believers, if I was to ask, well, when's the last time God spoke to you? Either they would make something up or they would think to themselves, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since I heard the voice of God speak to me. Many believers are good at going through the motion. They're good at putting on a show, coming into church and singing the hymns and opening their Bible to the right passage, but they can't remember the last time that God spoke specifically to them. Church, we shouldn't be that way. Many believers have no idea what God is trying to teach us. That's because in many of our lives, we've hit the mute button on God. But yet we've got the world, the flesh, and the devil screaming as loud as they can on this side, and we've turned our attention that way when God is saying, I desire to speak, and I'll speak as soon as you'll listen. As soon as you'll turn away from those things. Many times we have no idea what God is saying because we are running from God. Maybe you're here tonight and you're running from God. You've fallen for the lies of the devil. Can I tell you this? It's not too late to come back to God. And don't you think for one second that God doesn't love you any longer, because that could never be further from the truth. God loves each and every one of us. He loves us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. I hope everyone in here is saved tonight. And if you're saved, understand that you are a child of God, and God would like nothing more than for you to restore that fellowship with Him. He wants that to be restored, just as the account in Scripture of the prodigal son, just as the father was standing there. He was waiting for his child to come home because he desired to fellowship with him. God is waiting for you as well. God is pleading for us to repent of our sins, but will we listen? If not, know here that judgment will come, and that judgment will include open shame. It will include barrenness of the voice of God. It will that judgment will include God setting us aside and not using us. I don't want that to be said about me. I don't want that to be said about any believer. So how do we keep from God setting us aside? How do we get to the point where we know that God is speaking to us by yielding to His Word? By turning from the sin that the Holy Spirit has convicted us about, and turning from that and turning to God and understanding, I cannot do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. And God will speak to us. But not if we are living in open rebellion. Not if we have turned Him off. Hosea was pleading with his wife Gomer here. Pleading for her to turn away from her whoredoms. Notice there in verse 2, it says, "Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight. Turn from those things." Said, and if this doesn't happen, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, make her as a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. Church, there's nothing that sounds more hopeless than a barrenness of God's Word. Hopeless state to be in. I don't want to be there. I don't want any of us to be there. But maybe that's where you find yourself. Maybe when you think to yourself, if you're honest with yourself, you say, I don't remember the last time that God spoke to me specifically. I can remember a time when I had sweet communion with God, but it's been so long, I hardly remember what it was like. If that's you tonight, get it right tonight. Restore that communion with God tonight. God is pleading for repentance. Pleading. He desires His children to be close to Him, to turn from the wicked ways that all of us are bent towards. There's a plea